20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you all for being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews. Those things help a ton. And if you'd like, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships as well. We are getting closer and closer to training camp. And with that in mind, today I'm going to give you all of my predictions for what is going to take place during training camp and preseason, and as we get closer and closer to the Packers opening day against the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. I've got 12, I don't know if I would call them bold or spicy takes, just predictions for what I think will take place during the course of the entirety of training camp. So number one, we're going to go over that cornerback two spot, and I'm going to predict that it is Eric Stokes that wins that number two corner spot. I do expect this to be tightly contested between Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes. We did an entire episode on this topic. If you want to go check that out, it was about a week ago that we did that, so you can get the full breakdown of that. Stokes, first round pick, super athletic, fits like a glove in this Jeff Hafley defense, but so does Carrington Valentine. But seventh round pick, not quite as athletic, but he's got a little bit more playmaking to him, a little bit more of that Jair Alexander swagger to his game. And I think this, like I said, is going to come down to the wire. I think from Stokes' standpoint, what he can bring to the table as a physical bump and run outside cornerback with hopefully all the speed that he possessed coming out of college. I think that's one of the questions that he's still going to be able to answer or going to have to answer. I think he's still going to be close enough to that. And I think that is going to give him a little bit of an edge. For Carrington Valentine, he has to play with that swagger. He's going to have to make some of those plays, and he's going to have to be a little bit stickier in coverage than what he was a season ago. But we did see him get better as the course of the season went on. Between these two, the best season of any of their, you know, short careers so far in the NFL, the three seasons of Stokes, the one of Valentine, was Eric Stokes' rookie year. If he can get back to that, that is a really solid starting number two corner. If Carrington Valentine can take a step in a positive direction from where he was a season ago, that is a very good starting corner. Number two, at least. And I think that's what, fingers crossed, makes this a competitive situation. We are hopefully not having to enter in a scenario where you got to choose between the lesser of two evils. You want to have to choose between two players who brought everything they could to camp and made this a very difficult decision. But I think based on being a first-round pick, based on having probably a little bit more upside, and just based on what we saw in OTA and minicamp with Stokes playing opposite Jair in the two practices where they were out there together, I think I will lean at this point towards Eric Stokes winning it. I'll be clear one more time. If it were me, I would probably lean a little bit more in the Carrington Valentine direction. I just like the way he plays the game a little bit more, and he's under contract longer. He's going to be a Packer in all likelihood longer. I kind of just want to make that transition now, and let's see if Stokes can earn his job back through the course of the year. But for now, I would probably go Jair and Valentine. But my prediction is that it is Eric Stokes as your week one starting corner opposite Jair Alexander with Keyshawn Nixon in the slot. My second prediction, certainly not a bold one here, and I don't think this is going to be a hot take. Javon Bullard and Edgerrin Cooper both easily win their starting spots, and it will happen very early in training camp. In OTA and minicamp, we saw Anthony Johnson Jr. at that number two safety spot. In, you know, again, OTA and minicamp, we saw a lot of rotation at linebacker, although Edgerrin Cooper did get in there a little bit more towards the end. I would almost be surprised if at the start of training camp, day one, if Javon Bullard and Edgerrin Cooper aren't in those starting spots. But even if they're not there day one, I don't think it's going to take more than a week, week and a half at most, probably by, I will say, family night at the worst, that those two are in the starting lineup and ready to go and never look back. Yes, Evan Williams, maybe Ketan Oladapo, Anthony Johnson Jr., those players, could they get their name in the conversation for that starting safety spot? Yes. Should it just be handed to Javon Bullard on a silver platter? No, he should have to earn it. I just think he's going to very, very quickly. Edgerrin Cooper is probably a little bit different. there's really no reason not to sort of integrate him into that spot sooner rather than later. You have Quay Walker at one spot. Tyron Hopper, I don't think, is at that same level of Edrin Cooper. I know he's just taken one round later. They're both rookies, but I just think Cooper is the better player with the higher upside. And clearly you thought so too, because you drafted him in the second round, not in the third round. And you drafted him ahead of Tyron Hopper. And yes, Isaiah McDuffie could get in that conversation. We even saw Eric Wilson rotate a little bit in with the starters and the base defense. I just don't think any of it's going to matter. I think what we saw out of Edrin Cooper in OTA and minicamp already showed somebody that has great instincts, that has unbelievable speed and get off, is going to cause chaos in the backfield. And I think this is going to be a potential big time player for Green Bay. I'm not saying it happens overnight. I'm not saying he immediately gets ingrained as a starter and is like, oh my God, he's one of the best linebackers. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he has the ability to become that. And the sooner you can get him, hopefully trending in that direction and getting that experience out on the field, I think the better. And I think even if he does have some hiccups and mistakes or takes some steps back here or there, I think that's sort of a necessary part of the process to go through for rookie linebackers. And he's just going to have to experience it and move on from it. And hopefully he learns his lessons sooner rather than later and can be that big time linebacker that they really could use in the middle of that defense. So Javon Bullard and Edrin Cooper, your two starters at safety and inside linebacker, next to Xavier McKinney and Quay Walker, respectively. I'll take it, you know, sort of one step further too with Javon Bullard. I don't believe Javon Bullard is going to get a ton of play in the slot. I think they'll maybe utilize him there from time to time. I think he'll get some looks in training camp, but probably during the season as well. But I think it's going to primarily be Keyshawn Nixon in the slot with maybe, again, a look here or there from an Evan Williams or a Javon Bullard. But I expect them to go with more of a pure corner in that spot and less of the safety, you know, nickel corner hybrid. But I do think it's an option and it'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But my guess, Javon Bullard plays primarily safety next to Xavier McKinney as well. So a little bonus one there. Number three, Michael Pratt shines in preseason and wins the number three quarterback spot. Now notice here, I'm not saying wins the number two quarterback spot, which I do think is on the table. I don't think that that is unquestionable. I think he can get in that conversation. But I think at minimum, he will show enough in preseason and even go above and beyond that by saying he will shine in preseason, that they will not let him be subject to waivers in any way. Now, whether or not that equates to keeping three quarterbacks or releasing Sean Clifford with Pratt winning the two, that will be a little bit more up for debate. But I think they keep three. I think they clearly keep Jordan Love. Sean Clifford is the likely backup to start the season, which may be in flux as the rest of the season goes on. Maybe Pratt starts to learn the offense a little bit better and they trust him with the number two spot. I think Clifford's experience in the offense and working with Tom Clements, I just think that's going to give him a leg up in the, you know, number two quarterback race. But I do think Pratt's just ultimately going to be good enough to stay in the 53-man roster. Maybe not the most ideal thing in the world to get or to have to keep three quarterbacks. But if you have three that are good enough to be on the roster, you do it. You don't subject them to waivers. And you see how they can develop over the next couple of seasons as backups for Jordan Love. And hopefully they continue to grow and trend in the right direction where maybe one of them becomes a really good number two quarterback with maybe even some starting upside. Or maybe you can even flip one of them for some draft capital down the road. Number four, this is another maybe not so bold prediction, but one I think Packer fans would be relatively excited about, as much as I never like to get excited about a player getting released or anything like that. My guess is that Royce Newman will get released before cutdown day, before the 53-man roster cuts. I think this is one of those classic veteran type players that you get maybe a week, week and a half, 2 weeks before final cutdowns. And you recognize that he's not going to make the 53, especially with that $3 million plus contract, and you give him the opportunity to find a team that he can go to before the actual cutdown time. I think Green Bay has plenty of depth along the offensive line. They have plenty of people fighting for those spots, and it might be worth getting Jacob Monk or even, you know, somebody like a Donovan Jennings, etc., some more time in there at guard, even a Kadeem Telford who spent some time working at guard this offseason, maybe them more playing time when you know you're not going to stick with Royce Newman at that contract number and when you're probably not going to get him back on the practice squad. So you probably do him a solid, release him a couple weeks before those final cutdowns, see if he can land with another team, and then you get off of that contract and allow some of your younger, players who are probably going to be around longer and actually have a chance to make the 53, get that additional time for those final 2 weeks of the season, which will give you more opportunity to maybe differentiate between the guys who actually have a chance to make the 53, which I don't think Royce Newman will be. Considering what we've seen out of him already and his contract, I just don't think it's a recipe for Royce making the 53. And because of that, he gets released a couple weeks even before cutdown day. Number five, I'm going to say the starting offensive line solidifies early in the process, meaning I'm sure they're going to rotate some guys around and see what they can do. But I think, you know, maybe after either before or maybe right after preseason week one, I think it starts being Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elgton Jenkins at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. I think that will be your starting lineup for week one, and I think that will get solidified rather early in the process. I think it's going to take Jordan Morgan some time to get acclimated. I think, you know, I don't think he's ready to just come in and start from day one. I know it was very minimal opportunities that we got to see him in OTA and rookie minicamp and minicamp, but I just from what I saw, I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to kind of get there. But I think he can be the number one swing guy off the bench and fill in for a variety of different positions. And hopefully they maybe start trying to train him a little bit more on one particular spot or two particular spots so he can maybe get a little bit more comfortable there. And I don't really think that anyone else is going to be in the conversation. I don't think Andre Dillard. I don't think Royce Newman, as we just discussed. I don't think Jacob Monk. I think there's six guys that are fighting for those five spots. And like I said, I think Morgan is probably the least ready of those six. And for that reason, you give him a little time to develop. You know you're going to need him at some point this season. So let's get him ready for when he does need to go in and give Sean Ryan that first opportunity at starting right guard with everyone else staying in their same positions from a season ago. Like I said, I think that gets solidified sooner rather than later. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me, and this is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as for those results, users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. And what's even better, there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number six, Anders Carlson wins the kicking job, but unconvincingly. And I don't mean to say he has a bad camp or anything like that. What I mean to say here more is, I don't necessarily know that there's anything Anders can do in training camp and preseason that you're going to get to that first game and be like, all right, here we go. It's Anders Carlson time. Let's go. We are excited. We are pumped. And we are fully confident that he is going to make his kicks going into the year. He might have a good camp. He might have a good preseason. And I do think he's going to win the kicker job, but we are not going to feel confident with Anders until we see him kick with more consistency when it matters most in the regular season and, more importantly, in the postseason or in clutch games and clutch moments. And if and when he does that, that's when that confidence will move up. I do think he's the best kicker currently on the roster, and we'll give, you know, James Walker some opportunity to, you know, see what he can do. It's not like I've spent a ton of time watching, you know, Michigan kicker tape or anything like that. So maybe he does end up becoming the guy, but for now, I think it's going to be Anders. They spent draft capital on him. He was the best kicker in OTA and minicamp. Again, maybe unconvincingly a little bit there as well. I don't think it's going to be Greg Joseph. I just don't think he has kicked as well as Anders, and maybe that changes in camp and preseason. But barring a epic collapse from Anders, I do kind of expect him to be the guy. And I think, again, it's not going to be like we're all super confident going into the year. So it'll be somewhat unconvincingly, and we're still going to have that feel of, oh goodness, what's going to happen once we actually get to the regular season. Number seven, we know there is always, always, always an undrafted free agent darling. Happens every single training camp, happens every single year. I believe that Jarvion Howard, the running back, will be this year's training camp undrafted free agent darling. However, I do not believe he will be the undrafted free agent that actually makes the 53-man roster. I think Howard will make it to the practice squad. I think it is Peter Bowden, the long snapper, that is the only undrafted free agent that will actually make the 53. I think there are probably two logical options for undrafted free agents who could actually crack the 53-man roster, assuming no crazy injuries at one position. Peter Bowden at long snapper and Donovan Jennings at guard. I think those are the two most likely players to actually make it on the 53. Could Jennings make it? Yeah, I really do legitimately think so. I think he's right on that cusp of make or not make if he can go out and show that he's capable of being what I saw in college. And he fits everything, super athlete, moving in from tackle to guard. He's everything Green Bay likes at that spot. If he can show enough upside, I could legitimately see him making it. But I don't know that they're going to feel like they are going to risk him getting claimed on waivers either, unless he does go out and just have a massive preseason and puts out such good tape that some team would claim him. Probably a little bit unlikely. So again, I think Jarvion Howard, I think people are going to enjoy watching him play, but I think he's just behind the eight ball at the running back spot. You've got Jacobs, you've got Dylan, you've got Marshawn Lloyd, you've got Emmanuel Wilson. Howard is probably running back five at best, and to get into that top three might be near impossible barring injury, but I do think people are going to be impressed with the way that he runs. I would expect him to have a couple really fun runs in preseason, catch the eye of Packer fans, but not enough to make the 53. They'll be excited about him, and I think they'll be excited about him when he gets back on the practice squad as well. Number eight, I predict that Jeff Hafley's defense will make a ton of noise in training camp and in preseason, meaning there will be a lot of buzz. People will be extremely excited. Everyone's going to probably get unrealistic expectations. I think early the defense is going to make, or maybe like the stories of the defense is ahead of the offense, which usually takes place early in training camp. And it wouldn't surprise me either if this defense has a big time showing in preseason. I think they will. I don't think it amounts to anything, meaning not good or bad. I don't think it will necessarily tell us that they're ready to play amazing football come week one. I don't think it means that they can't play amazing football in week one. I just think that's what the noise is going to be. Hopefully it doesn't set unrealistic expectations. Hopefully it doesn't give the players a false sense of confidence for who they are and what they are, because I think this is going to take a level of progress throughout the course of the season. There's going to need to be growth throughout the year. And hopefully, again, they don't take anything for granted based on how they do in training camp and in preseason. But I do think it is going to be the defense that we will be talking about as we break camp and get ready for that Eagles game. Number nine, I am recording this a little bit earlier in the week. As I am recording this, Jordan Love has not yet signed a contract extension. However, when he does, I do believe the discussion will quickly change from a Jordan Love contract extension to a Kenny Clark contract extension. And I could see that getting done. And we've talked about this in the past. I could see that getting done soon. I could see that getting done maybe late camp, maybe mid-season, maybe not at all. But I do think that will be a constant conversation. I think the Packers and Kenny Clark's agent will continue to talk all throughout to see if they can get close on a number that makes sense for both sides. And if they can't, if you get through training camp, if you get through preseason, if you get through everything and there isn't a deal done, that will be a conversation as well, because Kenny Clark will go into the 2024 year as an unrestricted, as a to be unrestricted free agent. And that will be interesting in and of itself, because TJ Slayton will be there with him. That's a spot that next year you don't have those big run stopping defensive tackles under contract. So how those two play in this new defense, meaning Slayton and Clark, and what type of contract extensions you're looking for those guys and what type of contract extensions they're looking for, that's going to be one of the more interesting contract negotiations, specifically Kenny Clark, to keep an eye on through the course of this year. I don't think it's an easy one to get done. He still theoretically is kind of in the prime of his career with his age, but he's played a lot of snaps. There's a lot of wear and tear. Those things are going to be interesting. And it could come down to how does he look in this upcoming season? How does he look in Jeff Hafley's defense? And does he show that, oh my goodness, he's still playing at an extremely high level at this point of his career? And then maybe midway through the year, Green Bay and Clark do get an extension done. Or maybe Clark is like, I'm 5 months away from, or 6 months, 7 months, whatever it is, from hitting the open market. I'd rather hit the open market because I know I'll get paid there. We just heard about the Devontae Adams, you know, lowballing contract situation. Green Bay is going to be usually pretty ruthless in these situations. And they're even tighter when it comes to giving a player a third contract, which is what Kenny Clark would be at here. But either way, regardless of if it gets signed early or doesn't get signed at all, it will be a pretty big discussion point as soon as that Jordan Love contract is finished. Number 10, the Packers will go 1-2 in their three preseason games, and it won't matter at all. They will lose to the Browns, they will lose to the Broncos, and they will beat the Ravens, who almost never lose in preseason. They just had their huge winning streak snapped a season ago. Here's my reasoning. With the Browns, they have a pretty good crew of backup quarterbacks, including Jameis Winston, who could see a variety of playing time in that game. I think that gives them a little bit of a leg up there. The Broncos, you could see Bo Nix playing a ton in that game to try to get him ready for the regular season, which I think potentially gives them a leg up there. And the Ravens in that third preseason game, unlikely probably to see much or any of Lamar Jackson right before the season. Or maybe you do. If you do, I think that could change. But if you don't, they don't have great backup quarterbacks, and that could hurt them in that game. Like I said, it won't matter at all, but I'm going to say 1-2 with losses to the Browns and Broncos and a win over the Baltimore Ravens. Number 11, Jordan Love plays sparingly this preseason, but picks up exactly where he left off. And that is as a distributor, as a playmaker, more accuracy, more comfortability in the pocket. I think you will see a very confident, very calm, very poised Jordan Love. I also wouldn't be super surprised if he tries a couple things, which I love, by the way. If he throws into a tight window and gets picked off, I'm fine with that in preseason. I kind of want a quarterback who isn't necessarily trying to win those games and instead is maybe testing the limits of what he can get away with in certain situations. I would much rather have him learn those lessons in preseason than have to learn them through the course of a regular season or certainly a postseason game. So I don't mind a quarterback who maybe wants to take some chances and to stretch the lengths of his ability a little bit. That's what that time is for. But either way, even if he does take a couple chances, couple risks, see what he can get away with, again, I think we're going to see a very calm, confident, poised Jordan Love and picking up right where he left off a season ago. And I do believe that will transition in to the start of the regular season as well. Last but not least, and I do not mean this as a kiss of death or as a negative, although it sort of has been at times through the history of Packers training camps. It has almost a little bit of a curse to it. So we're going to just not even speak that into existence. We're going to end all curses right here and now. But I'm going to say that Marshawn Lloyd will be the training camp and preseason MVP for the Packers for a couple of reasons. One, usually it's a playmaker, right? And it's probably a wide receiver or a running back. Jordan Love's not going to get a ton of playing time. It's probably unlikely that Clifford or, you know, Pratt are the preseason, MVP or training camp MVP. With wide receivers, could you go maybe like a Bo Melton who could get a lot of time and maybe make the most of it? Sure, Malik Heath, same thing. But I think there's so many of those wide receivers that it's going to be tough for any one of them to stand out. At running back, it wouldn't surprise me if Josh Jacobs doesn't get a ton of time in preseason. AJ Dillon, probably same thing. He probably gets some, but again, he's not like that dynamic playmaker that's probably going to be an MVP type performer. I think it kind of leads, and again, Tucker Kraft still dealing with an injury. Maybe it could be a Luke Musgrave, but he might not play a ton as well. Where I could see Marshawn Lloyd actually playing a decent amount. And just what I've seen already, I think he's going to make some spectacular plays. I think he could be the talk of training camp. I think he could be the talk of preseason, somebody that everyone gets super excited for during the course of the regular season. And then he might have to have that learning curve where he's just behind Jacobs and Dillon for a while he picks up the offense and blitz pickup and everything like that. But I wouldn't be surprised one iota. In fact, I am predicting it. Marshawn Lloyd is your training camp and preseason MVP for the Packers. So just to recap, my predictions for training camp and preseason, Eric Stokes wins the cornerback two job. Javon Buller and Edgerrin Cooper easily win their starting spots. Michael Pratt shines in preseason and becomes quarterback three, or at least earns a 53-man roster spot. Royce Newman gets released prior to cutdown time. The starting offensive line solidifies early with Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom going from left to right. Anders Carlson wins the kicking job, but there's still some nerves going into the regular season. Jarvion Howard is the undrafted free agent darling, but it's Peter Bowden who is the only undrafted free agent to make the 53-man roster. Jeff Hafley's defense makes a ton of noise in training camp and preseason. The talk will transition from a Love contract extension to a Clark contract extension. Packers go 1-2 in preseason. Jordan Love plays sparingly in preseason, but picks up where he left off. And Marshawn Lloyd is the training camp and preseason MVP. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Caleb Cookster, and SoCal Pack. See you guys soon. Until next time, and as always, go Pack Go!